somebody can make some little copies of it. If one wants to know how do we enter into the yontif, how to come into the yontif, so then the place to begin is by opening up the mesachta. To open the mesachta and to read the first words. Reb Tzadik and other tzaddikim taught us that the entire Mesechta is contained in the first words. And when the Mesechta is about Yontif, like Pesachim, is about Pesach, the first words contain within them the essence of the entire Yontif, what the Yontif is about. So I want to talk to you about the first words as a way of entering into the Kedushas Hazman of Pesach. I'm hardly ever here and I feel bad I don't see you as much as I used to, and so good to see you and to see your wonderful rebellion. And there are many, many, many hours to talk about this Inyan that would be needed to talk about this Inyan, but it's just a few minutes. Just Rashi Prakim, just a little bit, a little bit. The Mesechta begins, Pesachim begins with Orla Abos, Habaykin, and Sechomet, Slar Haner. Mesechta begins with searching, with looking. Pesach is about Cheirus. Cheirus is about being Chofshi, Chofesh. Rabbi Nachman in Reish Ayin Hei, in Ayin Reish Hei, in the first Chelik, Kutum Aran makes a connection between Chipus, searching, and chayfesh, and being free. And he has his mahalach there. You take a look. You have a couple of years to work on it. And ayin reishay. The connection between chipus, searching, and being free and chayfesh. Somebody that's looking for something. Somebody that's looking for something already admits that there's something in his life that's missing. Nachah? If you're looking, it means that there's something that's missing. It's interesting, the inyan of looking for the afikoman, that we have such an inyan of tzafun, something that's hidden, and we're trying to find it. Even during the Makas HaChayshech, the searching through the in the Charim, in the Stakim, in the Egyptian homes, it seems that somehow the Kedushas HaYom of Pesach is about searching, is about looking. It's about trying to find something that's missing. Obviously, B'dikas Chametz means to find the Chametz that's missing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, the Gemara on Daf Zayin, the Gemara that tells us the Makar of the requirement, L'chadchila, to search with a candle. And the Gemara brings a pasuk from the Novi Tzefanya. Even the name Tzefanya is Tzafun, right? Something that's hidden, that you're looking for, like the Afikarim is Tzafun. So in the Navi Tzvanya, the pasuk says, "V'haya beis ahi, achapes Yerushalayim es Yerushalayim baneiros. V'haya beis ahi, achapes es Yerushalayim baneiros. The time will come, and Hashem says that I will search Yerushalayim with candles." And from there, the Gemara learns out that chipus, that searching, b'dikas chametz, chipus is baner, is with a candle, is with light. with Or. Now, what's the connection between that search for Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, Achapis, Es Yerushalayim, Beneiros, and Bedikas Chametz, and searching for the Chametz, looking for Chametz, trying to come to Pesach to get rid of the Chametz? So again, there's very little time. The Sfasem Eschus Galenu speaks about this in many places. Not about the connection with Bedikas Chametz, but the meaning of Achapes is the Yerushalayim Beneiros, the search for Yerushalayim, as you all know, doesn't just mean to find where the city is. We know where Yerushalayim is. Achapes is Yerushalayim Beneiros means, the Sfasem says, that Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. And the search for Yerushalayim, of course, is taking place, should take place within each and every one of us, to look for the Yerushalayim within ourselves. What's the Yerushalayim within ourselves? The Sfasemis, anybody who's ever learned Sfasemis, you know that almost every single piece, the Sfasemis speaks about the Nakuda. Nakuda HaPnimis, that inner point of who we are. That part of ourselves that's much bigger than what we see in our lives, that's missing, like the Afikomen. By Yachatz, you break the Matzah, and the bigger part you put away for the Afikomen, right? The Bugus Abay, some other tzaddikim say that the inyan of putting away the bigger part is because the bigger part of who we are, we don't see with our eyes. The bigger part of who we are is hidden. Not just from other people, but it's hidden from ourselves. That's called Yerushalayim. That part of ourselves that's who we really want to be, that part of ourselves of who we really can be, that's called Yerushalayim. That's the inyan of Yerushalayim in the person. And as you go all the way in, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida, sheba nefesh is the place that's called Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies within a person. Very few people are able, while they're alive, to come to contact with that part of themselves that's called yechida. Shebenefesh, the essence of the soul. The essence of the soul itself is the Kodesh Kadosh. Orla Abos, or that search that begins by Bedikas Chametz, the Orla Abos, is in truth a search for that Yerushalayim within ourselves, that Nekuda HaPnimis. Because when a person comes to that place, or even he gets into the area of that place, because you know there are Esa Kedusha to Yerushalayim, there are 10 levels of Kedusha, and in Yerushalayim itself there are different Madregas of Kedusha. Because when a person comes into that area, that zone of Yerushalayim within himself, Huchavshi, he's free. He's Bamis free, even if he's behind bars. Even if he's, God forbid, sitting in Auschwitz or in Mauthausen, chas v'chalil. But when a person comes to that place, within himself, chofshi, chofesh. That's the chipusis for chofesh. Now, what does that have to do with chametz? And remember that the beginning, the words of the Mishnah, or la abosa, if you go back to the first word, is or. Look inside what you have in front of you. We have to do it very quickly. This is from the Sefer HaZmanim. Any of you know who the author is of Sefer HaZmanim? No? The Sefer HaZmanim is from Rabbi Yankel from Ishbitz. Rabbi Yankel Ishbitz is the son of the Me'er Shiloach and the father of the Radzina, of Rabbi Henochel from Radzin. The Sefer HaZmanim, the name of his firm is Beis Yaakov, and on the Haggadah and on Shavuos we have pieces, it's called Sefer HaZmanim. It's the Beis Yaakov. Let's learn just a little bit inside. Or la'abos ha'boikin es ha'chom es lo'ar aner. Mashazu ha'mesech es mascheles b'milas or. But this mesech that begins with the word or, light. No, the Masechta begins with that word. Hu ki bezeh ha'chag, meir Hashem isbarach la'enei ha'odom, Shiyakir Mekaimai Vesharisho, Vyir Mefurash Sharish Chesvainai. Because on this Yontif, if a person is searching, because on this Yontif of Pesach, Bezachag, Hashem opens the eyes of a person. Hashem opens the eyes of a person to recognize his sherish in this world, his makom, his sherish, why he was sent into the world, his purpose in the world. When you know that, that's when you become free. To recognize, to know his purpose in the world. And in order to be able to know that, it has to be clear to you what is it that's missing in your life. That you're not there in Yerushalayim. Your purpose is to get to Yerushalayim, each person in his way, and what Yerushalayim is for him, and to be makir, to recognize, to have the ability to see what is it that's holding me back. What's the sherish of my chitzon? What's missing in my life? What's wrong? What needs to be, what minias, what obstacles have to be removed that are in the way of Yerushalayim? So I can get to that part of myself. Because when I get to that part of myself, ani chavshi, I'm free. I'm free from anything that's not me. I'm free from anything that's artificial. I'm free from anything that's a lie. That's not who I am. I'm free. So the Rebbe says, Shabam is called HaTov Shiftiach Hashem Yisbarach LiYisrael Kvar Nitan Lahem. The truth is that everything that a Jew and the Jewish people ever would need was already given to them. That's why when you look in Tanakh, you see that many of the promises that Hashem makes, he uses the Lashon of Avar. Avar meaning the past. Ki'ilu, I already gave this to you. Because when Hashem says, here it is, it's there right away. The problem is we don't see it. In other words, Yerushalayim is ours right now. There's no mosque on the Harabais. Everything is Yerushalayim belongs to the Jewish people. The second that Hashem said, I'm giving it to you, he said it in the past tense, meaning that it was yours from creation and it's always yours. You just don't see that. You don't understand that. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe school used to say, used to yell at all the Israeli politicians because they used to come to ask him aces, you know? And he used to yell at them, go up and stand in front of the United Nations. Go up and hold the Tanakh and read the first pasuk in Chumash and tell all the world that the reason that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us is because the Baruch Shalom gave it to us. He created the world and he gave it. The first Rashi, right? He says, read the first Rashi. And all these politicians, they would laugh and they say, Rebbe, and the Baruch Shalom was very serious. He said, I'm telling you that if we would do this, the whole parish would be finished already. If we would believe it. If we would believe that Yerushalayim is ours, if we would believe it, Be'emunah Shleima, the way that he did the Rebbe, if we would believe that, and our leaders would believe that, Kvar Nigmar HaSipur, we'd be there, we'd be standing there, we'd be in that place, we'd be watching the Kohen Gadol, our Kohen. That's what the Rebbe says. U'mah she'ein ro'ein zayis, we don't see it. It looks to us like Hashem's promises haven't been fulfilled. It's because we don't see the or. We don't see that light. You could be standing in front of your shrine, but if it's pitch dark, it could just as easily be Kansas City. You don't know. It could be nothing. Therefore, you know, each one of us has a particular mitzvah that we were sent into the world to perfect. To keep all the mitzvahs, but each one of us has a particular mitzvah. You find out what that mitzvah is sometime during your life. There's a friend of mine, he's been spending the last 40 years buying tzitzis and giving out tzitzis for people. He has this connection to tzitzis. I took the chevra from shul the other night, we went to bake matzahs. The yid over there, the rebbe over there, when we bake matzahs, his inyan is matzahs. He's meshig with matzahs for the last 50, 60 years. There's an inyan like that in the world that's connected to the sharish of who each person is. But the Rebbe says, because of that lack of or in our lives, the person doesn't see. Therefore, it's hidden from the person. Who am I? what am I supposed to be doing in my life? So if somebody would stop you in the street and would ask you, what is it that you want to be? You might answer an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer, a rebbe. You might answer a father. You might answer whatever. But all of those answers are sweet. And all of those things, all of those are things that you would like to do, but they're not answering the question of Bemis. Who are you? Who are you, Bemis? None of those are answers to the question of who. I remember I was 35 years ago, I was teaching seniors in high school, the boys, Gemara, I was their rebbe, and I took them to see a big tzaddik. And you heard of the Blues of a Rebbe? Maybe you heard. I took him to see the Blues of a Rebbe, and his English was very, very hard for him, but enough to be able to be understood. So there was a boy in my class, his name was Yosef Alfasi. Alfasi. You ever hear the name Alfasi? It's a good name? Yeah? So he was going around, the Rebbe was asking everybody their names. And this boy says, Yosef Alfasi. And the Rebbe looked at me and says, Alfasi? I said, so the Rebbe asks him, does your family come from Morocco? He says, yeah. Like he was like sitting back like with a toothpick, the guy, you know. He says, yeah. And the Rebbe said, do you know who your great-great-grandfather was? Alfasi? He said, yeah, the Rif. So the Rebbe says, the Rif? Do you know who the Rif? Do you know who the Rif was? So he says, hey, he's a guy in the back of the Gemara. That's what he said. He's a guy in the back of the Gemara. So the Rebbe said, he smiled, and the Rebbe said, it's not so easy to get into the back of the Gemara. It's like a guy in the back of the Gemara. You know, like, it's not so easy to get into the back of the Gemara. And he couldn't get over it. The Rebbe kept on going like this. If he couldn't get it, he couldn't come to himself. The rich. That's how we are. Like, who are you? No, my God. We don't know. Nelam, it's hidden. Mamish is hidden from us because of the darkness of the world that we're living in. And the reason that people are miserable in this world is because they don't know exactly what's missing. They're looking for something because something is missing, but they don't know what it is. And if you don't know what's missing, you can't fix it. You can't get it. You might think that you get it because you found something. You say, oh, this is it. I always wanted to be the accountant. Or I always wanted to marry that girl. And now you have the girl and you're the accountant and you're still doing a bedikas chametz and you're still going around with a candle. You still haven't found it. After you got what you wanted, you're still looking. You're not chofshi and you're still in the chipus. Od lo matzata. Like they say, misaviv atzmi pula pula. So the Rebbe says a person goes mipula lapula from one thing to the next. Maybe this is it. This is it. Maybe this is it. Now I found it. And he says, and that's not just in spiritual matters, even in physical things. Even when it comes to things like parnasi, he hasn't found what parnasi it connects to him in his sherish, whatever it is. Because if the person would know what's missing, he would be filled with this. Even if he didn't finish his work yet, he'd be filled with that feeling of simcha, of shleimus, because this is who I am, and I'm working on what I'm supposed to be working on. And a person would be filled with simcha. The Rebbe goes on. I don't have time really to go into all of this, but the Rebbe goes on to explain that the reason we have so many chumras when it comes to the Yontif of Pesach, when it comes to looking for chametz, is because the chametz is that thing that's in the way of that light. Chametz is in the way of that light. Now I want to explain that. And that's why we begin with Bdikas Chametz. Chametz is in the way of that light. If we would be able to have that light, we would see Yerushalayim. We would find Yerushalayim, each one of us. And chametz is in the way of that light. Now, why is that? And what does chametz mean? Obviously, we're not just talking about noodles and a couple of cookies, right? What does it mean? So I'm sure that you've been talking about in all of the shiurim already, and you're learning about discussing this. Chomes says, you know, is when you have one of the chameshes mini dogen, right? One of the five types of grain. And it comes into contact with water. And vishar, there's some delay, some amount of time that passes. And as a result of that, it's adshe hechmetz. It rises, it ferments, it becomes chametz. So what's so bad about that? So the Radbaz, everybody knows that it's, even if Pshat the Radbaz says it's talking about the Yetzar, it's talking about Gaiva, all of those things. Not being simple. The Alter Rebbe talks about the Maral, Pashtus, the Matzah is Poshet, and the Chometz is something that has all types of delusions about itself, all different tastes and flavors, but not really what it is itself. That's what we're talking about. But on a very simple level, this is what I just wanted to talk to you about for a minute. On a very simple level, the ikkar here is that something was delayed. And you've all been to matzah bakeries, and they put the clock on, right? And when it's 18 minutes, that's it. Gemana. And if it sits longer, if it sits unoccupied longer, then it becomes chametz. The dough itself is terrific. It's fantastic. The problem is, if you mashe it, if you leave it over, you delay, you postpone, you don't act upon it. So, Chevre, there are many, many things in life. There are many things in life that maybe at some point they were important. And maybe at some point they were necessary. But kvar ova zmanam, kvar ova zmanam means that you've been holding on to this thing for too long. And even though it might have been very sweet when you were a kid, even though it might have been something that you enjoyed when you were younger, right now in your life, this is holding you back from Yerushalayim. Old habits, sometimes old friends. Some of you here, I don't know most of you. Some of you I know, but some of you I don't. But we all grew up having like a friend that already became chametz years ago. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't sound nice. Like he could put on a t-shirt that says chametz on it. It's a nice guy. Hashem should look out for him and he should be healthy and well till 120. Just stay away from me because you're messing up my life. And not because you're so bad, but I have problems. And when I meet you, the two of us get together, it's all like a chametz party when we get together. Because I've kept you too long in my life. I should have outgrown you 10 years ago. I'm done with these stupid conversations, like sitting in the car at night, talking about this and talking about that, that I don't want to talk about anymore. I've outgrown it. There are certain expectations that you might have had, that you wanted in life, that you were thinking about, that at the time they were part of being a kid. But at this point in your life, it's just sitting for too long. It's already become chametzdik. There's certain opinions that you have. There's certain opinions that every one of you have, and I'm sure that I have also opinions that already became chametz. But you're still going around saying these opinions to everybody. Did you know like this? You're probably talking about the elections in Eretz Yisrael yesterday, and like everybody became like a big politician, a big expert. Well, everybody's saying all this and all that, and by tomorrow's change, chametz, the whole thing is really not risky. The Baruch Hashem fears the veil, the Baruch Hashem runs the world. So chametz. Surrounded by chametz. There are tainis that you might have against a parent. I was just talking to one of my students in Eretz Yisrael, and he's been having like unbelievable fights with his wife about stuff and whatever. Now he's a chassid of a very big tzaddik, and he went to the, and finally the wife called to snitch on him to the Rebbe. The wife spoke to the tzaddik about, you think that my husband's such a big tzaddik, and this is what he's been doing. So he was crazy angry at his wife for snitching on him to the Rebbe, you know. So the Rebbe said, after Marv, the Rebbe said to him, didn't say, just gave him, you know, come with me. And everybody just moved over. There's a big chassidus. Everybody moved over. And he said, the Rebbe took him into his office and said, sit down. And he said he was shaking. And he said, the Rebbe speaks to him in English. The Rebbe was born in America. And the Rebbe said to him, listen to me. Be nice to your wife. She's good. Be nice to her. That was it. Now get out of here. So the wife told me. Now, I don't know if this is going to last, but he is like now admitted everything he's done and how he's wrong and how he messed up the kids. Now he messed up her. And he's I thought it was, all the stuff that he had from his parents and what he carried along, all this stuff, all this chametz in his life that he was screaming about, I know the truth, I know the truth, this is how it is, this is how it is, this is how it is in my family. And the wife said to me, his family is so dysfunctional. And he's always quoting his parents are nuts, his family is dysfunctional. And all he ever says is, my father did like this, my mother, he said, that's exactly what we should do the opposite because they're crazy people. And so finally, after being married for 25 years, he says, my parents are nuts. My parents are crazy. Everything I brought into this family is for my family. I'm sorry. All that came because the Rebbe said to him, be nice to your wife. She's good. You got problems, you know? She's good. There's so many things in life that become chumas that go over the years. That you just keep on saying. You keep on doing. And the reason for that is, and this is what the Yom Tov HaPesach, the Rebbe speaking about this, or to be able to see that there's something missing in my life, and to be able to feel that I'm looking in the wrong place. I've been looking in the wrong place for Yerushalayim. This Yom Tov, and begins with that chippus, with that search for chametz. Because chametz comes to their lives for the simple reason, however, you all know, I don't have to explain this. I don't explain anything I'm saying, I'm just going over with you. But you know that it's unbelievably hard to change. This husband, for 25 years, he was raised by his parents a certain way, and it's very hard to change. Even though in his heart of hearts, in his Yerushalayim, he knows that his family had lots of problems. But it's human nature to just settle into something and to say, I'm familiar with this. And since I'm familiar with this, I'm just going to stick with it. I had a Rebbe here in the yeshiva when I was 2 years ago. I spoke to him, I was begging him to learn pshat in the Gemara, to learn the simple pshat in the Gemara, because I've had over a million of boys from your shir who have told me they don't know what you're talking about. And they want to learn how to learn a Blat Gemara. And you're giving over all these fancy Rebbe Akiva Eger's, Rebbe Chaim's. They don't know how to spell Rebbe Akiva Eger in your shir. Rebbe, you understand? They don't know how to spell the words Akiva Eger. They think Akiva's like this and Eger's like that. They don't know how to spell Rebbe Chaim Brisker. They love Torah. They want to learn Gemara. Will you let go of being a big Rosh Hashiva and just learn with them a Blat Gemara? So he was upset with me. I didn't say it like that, of course. I said it over an hour, like very, very nice and politically. The boys love you. It's givaldi. You have the best shir in the world. You say the best Torah in the world, but I think they could use a little bit, like, you know, a little bit of pshat. They don't understand the pshat. Maybe she's asking just what the Gemara means instead of asking what Reb Chaim and the Rambam and the Raiva. They don't know what the Gemara means. They don't know how to read the Gemara. They think the Karva says Talmud Bibli, not Bavli. Like, talk to them. Talk to them a little bit about the Gemara. Ask them what the Gemara means. Read. Do they read the Gemara in the Shia? The boys tell me that. The Rebbe says for 2.5. Do they read the Gemara? They don't know how to read the Gemara. The boys tell me they don't know how to read Gemara. But this Rebbe is going along with what his shiur and what his Rebbe and what he heard. Chametz! Chametz! It's all chametz. It's holy chametz. All chametz starts off good, no? And when it's not Pesach, it ends up, it tastes good. It's got all kinds of flavors. But it's not what that person needs in your shiur. It's chametz.
Where did you get this idea to tell over to some guy that doesn't know how to read Hebrew to tell him over all kinds of fancy stuff he doesn't know how to read? So then he's telling me, because I want to give him a geschmack in Torah. So give him the biggest geschmack he'll have if he makes a siyum on an omen of Gemara that he's able to read Rashi and to say over a Tosis. He'll have a geschmack, and then you can say something interesting. But the boy's not learning. They don't know what they're doing with their lives. Rabbi Yisrael, learn with them. You want to do like this? That's chametz. Why? Because that's how you did it with your Rebbe. That was 40 years ago. What do you mean? I was 19 years old. I was able to understand the Rebbe Chaim. Okay, you're a genius. That was many years ago. These kids are not. They're not you. And for them, that doesn't. It's not helping them. Just the opposite. It's turning them away from Torah. What are you doing? It's chametz. There are so many things in life that we just keep on going. We keep on doing because we're afraid to change. You know, the people that they stay in jobs. A lot of guys in shul, they come talking about their jobs. I hate my boss. I hate my work. I hate this. I hate that. So I said, so get a different job. So do something else. So sometimes, practically how, I said, I don't know, I'm not a maven in these things, but talk to people. Do something different. If you hate it so much, you come home every day, you're so miserable, you're so broken, and the money is terrible, and your boss is paro. So then leave the whole thing. So do something different. So what should I do? I said, I don't know. I'm not an employment agency. I don't know what you should do. But do something different. But he'll stay. I know the personality. You can tell him in it. He'll stay. He'll stay, and every single day he comes home to his wife. He gives his wife, oh, what I had at work, and I hate this, and I hate that, and this guy, and this boss is a rusher, and everything, and the money is terrible, and she has to listen to these drushes for 50 years. But he'll never go. You know why? Zembu Karli, you know, I know this. I'm familiar with it. Because the Indian of changing is so scary. The Indian of changing, if you think about certain changes, each one of you in your lives, whether in Ruchni or some God, whatever that is, each one of you, with your own Yerushalayim. But if you think about it, and you try to make a cheshbon amiti of things in your life that maybe have just been sitting around for a long time, and maybe that's not Yerushalayim. Maybe that's not really matzah. Maybe it's chametz. See, the difference is like this. There was a rabbi from Slum called the younger rabbi, Schusigling. He was killed in the war. Reb Shmuel David. He was a big Reb Shlomo David. He was a big tzaddik. So they call him the younger rabbi. And the younger rabbi said, you know, when you look at chametz, the two words chametz and matzah, the mem and the tzadi are the same, right? The difference between chametz and matzah is a ches and a hay. Chametz is a ches, and matzah is a hay. So the young rabbi said, this is the difference between the ches and the hay. He says the hay has a tzibroch nefus, the hay is broken, and the ches doesn't have a broken foot, right? The hay has a broken leg. The ches doesn't have. So the younger rabbi said that a Jew who has a broken heart, a Jew who is able to admit that there's something missing in his life, that just because he's used to something doesn't mean that that's it. He said that person with the tzibroch in the heart, that's matzah. That's the hay of matzah. That's matzah. Chametz is with a ches. Because the sign of chametz is, everything is just the way it's supposed to be. Nothing's broken. I don't have to fix anything. There's no chametz. Nothing is broken. Nothing has to be fixed. If you don't feel that you're missing anything, that's the Beis Yaakov is saying. The Yontiv of Pesach begins with Ur La'Bos, or with light, and Boikin is a chametz Lor Haner, and Achapis is Yerushalayim B'Neiris, because this Yontiv of Pesach, the Inyan of Pesach, is getting to Yerushalayim. B'Tzeisim Mitzrayim, B'Shuvi LiYerushalayim, like we say in Kinnis. Get out of Mitzrayim and get to Yerushalayim. Now, there's been a big break between leaving Mitzrayim and getting to Yerushalayim. We're at the end. But it's been a long time, a big break between those two. B'Tzeisim Mitzrayim and B'Shuvi LiYerushalayim. We're just here for a long time. We became chametz over a long time.
Chametz the Svarim say is the inyan of the Eitzadas Tavira. According to one opinion, was Chita was bread. Matzah is the inyan of the Eitzachai. What's the difference between the Eitzadas Tavira and the Eitzachai? So tzaddikim say that the Eitzadas Tavira means that you have a person like this guy in Shul, that his whole life he's making shikulim, back and forth. This is good, maybe it's not good. This is good, maybe it's not good. He doesn't have the courage. He doesn't have the strength to make a change. He's constantly going back and forth. Good bid, good bid, good bid. But he never is able to take that step forward. He's never able to make that change. The Eitz HaChaim is something else. The whole Yontif of Pesach, the word Pesach means to jump, to leap. Medalag lahar mekapitz lagvoz, it means to skip over, it means to pass over. It means to be able to jump, to be able to, even though things are not 100% clear, sometimes if you're miserable and you're in a horrible job, even though rationally it's not clear exactly what your next job could be, sometimes you just have to jump. Of course you have to be about seichel, you can't be crazy. But sometimes you have to jump. There are certain things in our lives that have become chametzdik because we just don't have the courage to jump. We don't have that pesachdik inyan of skipping, of passing over, of jumping, of moving ahead. But even if we're in such a place, after the bedikas chametz, you say kol chamir v'chamia, and you make a bittel chametz, you say lebatel v'lehevi ka'afra da'ara, that at least, chevra, at least you and I talking about this, even if you and I are not ready to make certain changes in our lives, even if we're not ready to get onto that train, that bus to Yerushalayim, but at least if we protest the chametz in life, that's the inyan of all the chumas with chametz. At least if we're angry, at least if we say lebata v'lehevi ka'afra da'ara, I don't have any shaykhs, I don't want to be that way, I don't want to spend the rest of my life stuck. Lebata v'lehevi ka'afra da'ara means I don't, kol chamir v'chamir means I don't want to spend the rest of my life like that. And then you come to the Seder and you say, holach ba'anya. Kol dichvin, kol ditzvich, means all those are hungry, all those who are in need. What the Beis Yaakov is saying is, Pesach is a yontiv where a Jew could admit to himself that he's in need. He could admit to himself that he's hungry. And that what he's been stuffing himself with is not what he needs. And what he thought that he was hungry for is not really what's giving him life. But to begin by saying those words, holach ma'anya, I'm an oni, I'm poor, like Dodo Melech said. I'm empty. The beginning is to be makir once chisar and urla abosar, that when that light is on, you're able to look and to see that there's chametz in life. You're able to see that there's something that's ne'elam, that's chaser, that's missing, that I haven't reached. And therefore you could say, holach ma'anya, holach ma'anya, and you could say, l'shon haba b'nei chol, l'shon haba ardi Yisrael, next year I want to be free. Next year I want to be in Yerushalayim. Next year doesn't mean a year from now, it means now. It means, because Lashon HaBa means this coming time, it means now. I want to be free. I want to be in Yerushalayim. Let me just tell you a little story. I think I might have told to one of the Chavis last year. You know, in Bells, there was a magnificent shul. They built in Yerushalayim an imitation of that. Have any of you seen the Belzer Shul in Yerushalayim? Anywhere you look in Yerushalayim, you look up, you see it. So that is modeled after the shul that's in Belz, that was in Belz before the war. And that shul was built, the Sar Sholem from Belz, the first Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Sholem. The Sar Sholem from Belz didn't sleep for 100 nights. And he was learning, and he had Gili Eliyahu, and Eliyahu revealed to him exactly how the shul should be built. That's the Kabbalah that they have. So it was built with Gili Eliyahu. Now this Belzer Rebbe had very holy children, and he had a daughter by the name of Freidela. And the Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Sholem, used to say about this Freidela, he would speak about her greatness in such unusual terms. He would speak about her that she could have been an Amira, a Tana. He said such things about her. Anyway, when she was little, She was 5 years old. So by the Seder, it was getting very late, and towards the end of the meal, so Fedela fell asleep. Now, the custom in Bells back then was that by Shvei Chamoscha, when you open the door of Eliyahu Navi, so the Bells Rebbe would go to the door to welcome Eliyahu Navi, and then he would say to Eliyahu Navi, if the Navi would be kind enough to come with us, I want to give the Navi Nachas. And they would take a walk, he would go with, all the Chassidim would join them, and they would go with hundreds of Chassidim with torches, and they would walk to the shul that was built according to the instructions of Eliyahu Navi. And the Chassidim walked, and it was a Moiridika thing, that they all believed that Eliyahu Navi was accompanying the Rebbe, and all the Chassidim would walk with torches, and they would come to the shul, and they would do a rikud there, they would sing, they would do a rikud over there with Eliyahu Navi. So imagine this was a big moment. This is a big thing. Now, what happened is that Fredler fell asleep before that, and nobody woke her up. She opens her eyes and says, she's ready, Chagadya. She starts to cry. She starts to carry on. How come nobody woke me up? How can you not take me? I didn't see Eliyahu Navi. I didn't go to Eliyahu Navi. How could that be? How could that be? So everybody just said, no. So next year, it was ready the second, next year. So she couldn't come to herself. And the Sar Shalom said, we're going to go again. And everybody was very, very, you know, everybody's very tired, and it was very late, and it was very Chagadya. And the Bel Zerbi says, so the Bel Zerbi says, so all the Chassidim, he said, go, he said, this Shemash, go run out and tell everybody, come back. Right? So all the Chassidim are coming back in the street, and the Sar Shalom goes with Fredel and everybody to the door. And he invites Eliyahu Navi, and the whole Olam walks, and the same thing, the Rikud and singing with the fire, everything, for Fredel. And the next day in Shul, so the Chassidim, they went over some of the Chassidim to the Rebbe, and they asked them, I know, like, she's 5 years old, there was a pretty big Inyan we had to do for her, you know? They probably thought she's like a spoiled little girl, and get over it, you know? So the Bel Zerbi said, any Jew, even if it's a 5-year-old little girl that is hungry for Eliyahu Navi, he says that you have to open the door again. You can't go. You have to open the door again. For a Jew who's hungry, you have to open the door a second time. As many times as it takes, you have to open the door. That's what he said. So here we are, it's already so many years after Fredel, and so many years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And halavai, we should be zeichet to be re'evei tuvcho, tzmei, chazdecho, to be hungry for Hashem's Yeshua, to be thirsty for the final salvation. That Hashem's Baruch, as we learned, Hashem's Baruch already gave us everything. We have Yerushalayim. Each one of us has everything that we need. But the or is missing from our lives. We just don't have that light. Hashem's book should help you and myself and all of us that we should be able to have that or that we should be honest and to be able to conduct the B'dikas Chametz in such a way where we could, like by the Radishitzer, where he tore his shirt open and he took off his sitzis and he ripped everything aside and he took the candle from the hand of the Shamus and he put it next to his chest, next to his heart, and he said to the Shamus, look over here, look inside of my heart for the Chametz. Because that, even if you're in the fanciest hotel, I hope none of you are Chalila, have to go to hotels, but even if you are stuck in some hotel, and even if you hired somebody in the hotel to do B'dikas Chametz for you, and someone to eat a matzah for you, and someone to do Haseba for you, whatever it is, there's no one in the world that can do that for you. No one. At the end of the day, no one in the world could open that door, Eliyahu Navi. Only you and me. We're the only ones that could open that door. So Hashem should help that the door should swing wide open. And we should go with the Eliyahu Navi, not the Bells. I don't want to go with the Bells. Not the Bells. We should all be able to come back together and to get by air, by boat, and to get to Eretz Yisrael, to be Bnei Charim, Ba'ar, the Yisrael, and to greet Mashiach Tzakenu, the Lashon Amitis, from Heavy Amen, Amen, Amen. Shkai. Thank you. I don't want to burn my, because part of this I'm going to be doing Shabbos. I'm going to be doing Shabbos. I'm going to wait for it. After Shabbos, okay? After Shabbos.
What's that? Shabbos? Yeah.